Aaron's tea. So that's the first part of our service. Now, I have a question for some of you children, maybe some of you older children. Can anybody here remember a baby brother or sister being born? Can any of you remember waiting for your baby brother or sister? Anybody willing to volunteer and say they can remember that? And their brothers and sisters, yeah, great. Now, I have a question for you then. Did you have in your mind, could you imagine when you first saw them as a little baby, were you imagining what they might be like? What did you think they might be like? Any ideas, Hannah? Did you have any ideas? No idea at all what your child, what your little brother might be like? No? Was it complete guesswork? Parents, did you have any idea what your children might be like when they were tiny babies? Any goals or ambitions for them? Or were they complete blank sheets on which you had nothing at all painted? Okay. Nobody had any idea at all what their children were going to be like. They had no idea whether they'd be green or red in colour, whether they'd look like him or her or anyone else. I think actually we have some idea of what we might like our children to be like, or our little brother or little sister to be like. But whether they actually turn out that way, I don't know. Now, Mary and Joseph knew a lot more about their little baby than most of us do. They knew there was something very special about him, but they didn't understand everything about him. Now, I wonder if you can help me with this question. We'll see. What did they know about Jesus when he was born in the manger and so on? What did they know about him, about his future and what he was going to be? Does anybody want to volunteer an answer to that? Okay, I'll give Murray 3, 2, 1. Okay, Murray, go on then. What do you? They knew he was going to be the saviour of the world. That's right. Did they know anything else about him? Yeah. They knew his name would be the Christ of God. They knew that was very special, didn't they? They knew that he was somebody that God had sent. Yeah. What else did they know about him? Do you know? Perhaps they knew. Does anybody know the Son of? They knew he'd be called the Son of God as well, didn't they? They knew all kinds of things about him, but they didn't know everything about him. They didn't know exactly what it meant. They didn't know how he was going to be the saviour of the world. They didn't really understand what it meant that he was the Son of God. They didn't know how he was going to save his people. I don't suppose they guessed that his dinky little hands would one day be able to heal the sick just by touching people. I don't suppose they thought that his cute little feet would one day walk on water, and his squeaky little voice would one day raise dead people to life. But they might have known more than we realize, because in the Old Testament of the Bible, there were lots of clues that he wouldn't be just an ordinary little boy. This is the verse that we've been reading Christmas time, and it's Isaiah 9 verse 6. Shall we read this together? Let's read this all together. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we're thinking about those four special names at the end there this Christmas. And today the name we're concentrating on is the second one, Mighty God. What does that special name tell us about Jesus? Well, it tells us who he is, and it tells us what he was going to do. So who is Jesus, first of all? Well, he is God. Mighty God. Now, can you believe that? It's an amazing thought, isn't it? But what does it mean? Well, here is something that the very smallest children can help us with. I wonder if the very smallest children can help us. What I want you to do, small children, if you're paying any attention at all, is stretch up really high and make yourself really big. Can you do that? Stretch up really high, make yourself as big as you possibly can be. Who's the biggest? I think I am. Now, what you do now is curl up really small, into the smallest ball you can make. Who's going to be the smallest, tiniest little ball? I think Emily. It's the smallest, tiniest little ball. Oh, look, he's being caught up. That's right. Can you stay like that? You don't have to. You can get up now. Now, that's just a little picture, a very little picture of what happened at the first Christmas, you see. at the first Christmas, a great big God, a God big enough to fill the whole universe with all of him, made himself really tiny, really small, packed himself in to the body of a human baby. So a great big God made himself really small. That's the children's explanation. The grown-up explanation is perhaps a little bit more technical and involved. I'm not sure it's that bit more revealing, but there you go. But God the Son didn't leave the things that made him God behind, but he added limits, limitation to his own divine qualities by becoming a human being. So on the long list of things that describe God, words like greatness and power and majesty and glory were now added words like smallness and weakness and humility. That's amazing, but it's what the Bible says happened. Jesus was God become a human being. It says that in the New Testament in lots of places where people had a chance to see and hear what Jesus was about. But even in the Old Testament, when people had very strong ideas, there was only one God and there was no sense that he might become a human being. Even there, we find clues like this, that the King God promised to send to his people would be more than a mere man. Isaiah said that Jesus would be called Mighty God. And if the grown-ups turned over the pages, you'd see in Isaiah 10:21, that when Isaiah uses that term, Mighty God, he means Yahweh, the God of Israel. A remnant will return. A remnant of Jacob will return to the Mighty God. So if Mary and Joseph hadn't got other things on their minds that night, they would have thumbed through Isaiah chapter 9 and maybe guessed that Jesus wasn't just a little baby boy. He was God and a mighty God too. But what does that mean? Well, that shows us what he would do. That he was mighty. The point about God being mighty in the Old Testament was that he was much stronger than all the other gods that people around and about them worshipped. So if those other gods started bossing Israel around and bullying them, then they felt threatened by their powerful enemies, who knew we were always bigger and stronger than they were, they could cry out to God, and they believed their mighty God would come and rescue them from the struggles they were facing, give them a victory in their battles. And that's probably what Mary and Joseph thought that Jesus was going to do. They probably imagined that if he was God's Messiah, one day his little feet would have warrior's boots on them, and one day his little hands would be holding a sword, and his squeaky little voice would be shouting war cries and battle cries as they beat the Romans and so on. That's probably what Mary and Joseph thought Jesus was going to do. That's what most of the Jewish people in their day did thought anyway. And that's where they'd have been wrong. Jesus was born to fight a battle and win a victory, but not in the way that they thought. Now you must have wondered this as well. Has it ever crossed your mind to think, if Jesus really could do all those miracles we've read about already, why didn't he do a whole load more? Why did he not stay around for 6 years or 30 years instead of 3 years? Why didn't he heal three times as many people and stop five times as many disasters and raise everyone from the dead, for that matter? Why didn't he just go kapow and solve all the world's problems if he was as great and fantastic as he was supposed to be, hey? Am I the only person to have thought of that question? To me, it seems like a fairly obvious question. But the reason why Jesus did miracles wasn't to solve all the world's problems just like that. That comes later. The reason why Jesus did miracles was mainly to prove who he was, so that people could see who he really was. There was another battle that had to be fought before he could solve all the problems. And that battle had to be fought in a different way. And now we have another illustration. I need somebody who is very big and strong, and somebody who's fairly little and perhaps not quite so strong. Are you volunteering to be somebody who's not quite so strong, Joe? I do need some volunteers. Wesley, you're going to volunteer to be the person? Oh, let's see. Okay, Murray, will you, in that case, be the person who's bigger and stronger? I hope you don't mind me getting my own sons to do this operation. At least I know it works with them. Oh, Johnny, you can come and watch. You can tell us who wins, right, Johnny? Okay, now, as you can see, we have one person here who is big and strong, and one person here who is small and strong, but not quite as strong. Who do you think would win a battle between the two? What do you think? Murray. Okay, well, let's see then. Right, but it's a different kind of battle. Now, Wesley, would you put your hands together like this? Okay, and hold on tight. Okay, now, Murray, you put your arms up like this. And you've got to try and pull his hands apart. Can you do it? Come on, pull. Come on, Murray, you're the big, strong one. Come on. Everyone thought you'd win. He's little and weak and puny compared to you. Who's the winner, Johnny? Who's the winner, Johnny? It's not that hard to tell.
Murray.
Not Murray, it's Wesley. Wesley, well done. Thank you, boys. Sit down. Now, in case you think Murray's unusually weak, watch this. Hold on. Go on, put them together. Oh, God. I've hurt myself now. You see. What are you doing, Wesley? Go on, you sit down. Ow, I really was trying. I couldn't do it. You see, the little weak fella won the contest even though he was smaller and not as strong. It hurts, doesn't it, Murray, when you're trying to strain away like that? Because, you see, it's all to do with the position that you were in, wasn't it? He was in the right position like this to hold his arms together, even though the bigger, stronger one couldn't pull him apart. And that's just a little illustration of what it was like when Jesus won his victory. He showed by his miracles that he could be strong and mighty and powerful. But then he made himself small and weak and feeble. Not just when he was born, but even more when he was on the cross. Because when he was on the cross, he couldn't do anything at all to help himself. But he was in the right position. Because he was being obedient to God and trusting him by being weak. And that's how he won the battle. By being weak and feeble, but being faithful and true and doing what God wanted. We're all one way or another in the grip of bad things that are stronger than we are. Not just the things that happen to us, but the things inside us that make us do things we shouldn't do. They're stronger than us too. And we need a mighty God to come and rescue us. But a God who came along and blasted away everything that was wrong with the world, with his power, he'd be no good to us. Because we're part of the problem too. We all sin and we all fail God and each other. And if Jesus had turned up and decided to use his power to get rid of everyone who wasn't as good as they ought to have been, well, it would have been curtains for me and you. But Jesus is an even mightier God than that. He is so mighty that he can win the contest by being completely weak and feeble. He could let all the evil of the world do its worst to him, all land on him. He could bear the suffering and then just get up and walk away. And that's the way he can get rid of our sins without getting rid of us. He can defeat evil but save people. He can save you and me. Oh, look at his little hands, his cute little feet. Hear his sweet little voice. But Mary and Joseph didn't know that one day he'd be carrying a cross and have nails in his hands. But one day he did. And we should be so glad. For that is how mighty our mighty God is. Let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much that your Son made himself small and weak for us, became a baby and then a man on a cross, made himself nothing for us. And yet he was so mighty that even as one completely weak and helpless, he was able to win the battle and walk away, risen again, and take our sins with him so that we could live. We pray that your mighty God would do that for each one of us this Christmas. And we pray too for all the people of the world around us who need the help of God in their lives. There are many people who are poor, many people who are suffering and ill, many people who haven't enough to eat and drink. We pray, mighty God, that you would come to them and help them. There are many people who are lonely, afraid, scared, guilty, crushed by all the things that have happened to them. We pray that the mighty God would have mercy on them and that Jesus would lift up their heads. And we pray that the mighty God would come to each one of us this Christmas time. Amen. And let's stand and sing our last song. Come.